No? If any of us start to fade out, just yell at us to speak up or anything. My name is Brian Martin. I'm with attrition.org. We're going to be presenting today on web defacement statistics. These have been generated pretty much in the last few months, but cover the last several years of web defacements. Hopefully, we're going to bring to light some interesting trends, operating systems, web servers, and more information that a lot of people have been asking us for. And we're going to conclude with Steve giving you the future of the database, how it's going to morph into an SQL database, custom queries, and all sorts of neat stuff like that. If you have any questions as we go along, raise your hand. We'll try to answer them all. At the end of the presentation, we'll take more questions, and then you can corner any of us after the talk, and we'll try to answer anything else. Okay, let's begin. Talk's going to cover the mirror, how we operate, the statistics, and anything else that comes to mind or wherever the questions lead us. We have quick bios to basically give you an idea of who we are and hopefully to say, yeah, we know something about computers sometimes. Qualification of statistics. A lot of people like to look at our stats and make arbitrary conclusions based on them, and a lot of times they're not exactly accurate. The statistics information presented here are based on data collected since November of 98. That's when we began attrition.org, and the mirror started shortly after. We started mirroring the sites in January ourselves. Before that, we had just leached all the ones from all the other sites we could find. The defacements go back to 1995. If you look at the year for 95, you'll see probably 10 to 15 defacements. Obviously, the activity has increased considerably. Data before January 99 is believed to be accurate, but it's not 100% confirmed. There are a lot of times where we know something was defaced, but we don't have a mirror, we don't know the operating system, a lot of rumors. We keep notes on that and continually look for more information to make sure that we keep our database as accurate as possible. The root of the problem, how are these sites being defaced? Without getting into a full lecture on vulnerabilities, for the most part, Unix sites are hit with remote buffer overflows, trusted path attacks where they'll sniff their way onto a machine, or poorly coded CGIs on web applications. With Windows NT, the popular RDS MSADC, which we think is probably the most prevalent method for defacing websites right now, IIS hack, front page configurations, cold fusion, and other miscellaneous CGI problems. Why are more NT boxes defaced? That's a popular question. A lot of people like to cite, well, there's more NT servers. Well, check Netcraft, and that's not true. Netcraft currently places, I believe, Apache as the number one web server out there. Yet, we see something close to 65% of the sites out there being NT. One of the reasons we think this might happen is because it takes very little knowledge to deface an NT site. You have your one-line script. After that, you basically have to know one or two basic DOS commands. Echo something to a new file, and there's your new web page. That explains why a lot of these NT defacements are simple one-line or maybe two lines of regular text, no HTML tags. Most of the kids can't figure out how to do that. With Unix, it's still a little more complex. There's been times where we'll see IRC conversation of someone that just hacked a box. They get on IRC and the first thing they say is, okay, how do I find the web page? Well, most people say, oh, use find. How do I do that? They don't have the basic skills to navigate a Unix box, so it makes it very difficult to deface the web page. Obviously, using something like VI to someone who doesn't know Unix might be a little bit foreign or a little bit cryptic. A lot of the defaced sites, their admins mail us, why me? Why was my site hit? And there's a wide variety of reasons here. Tagging, basically electronic graffiti. It's just mindless vandalism, so to speak. A lot of groups have one-upmanship. Who can hit the biggest site or the most sites? The GovMill phenomenon. Apparently it's bragging rights to say, well, I hit a government server, I hit a military server. A lot of these kids think that, well, it's government or military, they must have great security. And as many of you know, that's not always the case. The delusions that what they are doing is impressive or cool. Oftentimes, these kids will mail us. They mail 2600 safe mode. They CC everyone and their dog, including journalists. And they brag about the site they just hit, and it's some mom and pop's fishing store that no one's ever seen. The traffic generated from the defacement is usually three times more than the legitimate traffic. Defacing is trendy. It's like baggy pants. It just won't go away. One kid says, hey, this is cool. The next kid says, oh yeah, since he says it's cool, it must be cool. I must do it. And the convenient excuse, hacktivism. What I'm doing is a politically good cause. Although if you look at most of these sites, they'll deface some arbitrary server for phishing and put up a message saying, you know, this country sucks because of what they're doing to this other country. It's like, well, yeah, that sure is a noble message, but what's the relevance to the site you hit? If you hit a targeted site, then it becomes hacktivism. Any questions yet? The fine art of mirroring. Most people think that it's a real quick process. There's not much to it. Maybe it should be, but we've gone a little beyond that. Typically what happens is mail comes into our alias, hacked@attrition.org. We conveniently have all sorts of other aliases pointing to it for the kids that can't spell. The mail goes to six people on attrition and is mirrored off-site. Staff verifies the defacement. We either use Lynx or Netscape. Oftentimes Lynx won't do it because the kids will put up a single image and Lynx won't render it. They don't have an alt tag, have to load it in Netscape. But the point is, we do verify a mirror, or we do verify the defacement before we do anything. Then we run our program called AGET, named after the popular WGET. We're up to version 4.5. It's an 866-line shell script. Feel free to insult us for being a little anal retentive on this one. Check to see if it's been mirrored. The first thing we want to do is make sure that we're not duplicating efforts. Still happens once in a while. It checks the current mirror, checks our incoming directory. If the mirror is currently being taken or has been taken, it aborts. We use three methods to check for the remote operating system. We use Netcraft with the URL nmap-O option and links, and just pull out the server string off the remote web server. Between these three methods, we can usually get the operating system without a problem, even if one of them comes back, like if nmap doesn't verify correctly or Netcraft is down or pulls the wrong data, one of the others will give it away. If the fingerprint is unknown, it automatically mails it to Fjordor so he can update nmap for the future versions. We then do an NIC lookup on the country or TLD, and that's actually a significant chunk of the program. It's about 200 lines of shell script dedicated to looking at the appropriate NIC based on the country so that we can try to get the site title or relevant information. We take a trace route to record the upstream provider, and later down the road, hopefully, we're going to see if there's any trends as far as what subnets are hit more often, if any of the upstream providers or hosting services are more susceptible to attack. Check to see if it's previously defaced. Anyone who's familiar with our mirror may notice that very few second-time defacements are going up on our mirror. It used to be you would see number 3, familycomputerworkshop.com, number 15, familycomputerworkshop.com. Well, those don't go up anymore. We keep them on a secret URL just because we don't want to give any glory to the kids that are hitting it four times a day. It's become a big problem. Since we moved them off the mirror, the redefacements have gone down considerably. We also check the defacement for hidden comments in HTML, the DOS signatures, meaning like the con Windows crasher. Check for a few other things. We mail cert based on the country. This is another significant chunk of the code. There's roughly, 50 to 60 different certs out there. We mail NIPC just because we like their lovely responses about 3% of the time. And we mail the NIC contacts of the domain so that the admin gets some warning mail saying, hey, you've had a security incident. You may want to check this. We mail our own mail list that you can subscribe to find out what's been defaced recently. And the form letter clearly explaining this is a third-party notification of a security incident. We've rewritten this thing 3 or 4 times, trying to fine-tune it so that we don't get as much hate mail from admins saying, oh, you hacked my domain, you bastards. It's like, yeah, you and the other 6,500 sites on the mirror, we did them all, sure. The responses from the admins are usually fun. therefore the name Stop Hacking My Box. 80 to 90% of the responses we get are pretty friendly. They're like, thank you for warning me. I didn't know this happened. God, this sucks. A whole lot. What can I do to fix this? We send a form letter back informing them of all the popular vulnerabilities, everything from IIS Hack, Cold Fusion, RPC StatD, you name it. We give URLs to where they can find information on the vulnerability, the fixes, and we leave it at that with, if you have any more questions, feel free to contact us. Even though we offer free help and free advice, we prefer not to do it because it gets into long, drawn-out threads. 10 to 20% of the responses are pretty hostile. There's probably a good handful that are legal threats. Those are usually the fun ones that I get to respond to. Oh, you hacked our box. We're sending you to our lawyers, and we're going to sue you. It's like, okay, what are the grounds? 3 days later, after they've consulted their lawyer and spent a little money, well, fine, you're just bastards. That's a new one to us. Some of the responses recently have been pretty hostile. If it's a real hostile response to us, we respond in kind. If it's a polite response saying, hey, this is kind of suspicious that you mailed us 10 minutes after it was defaced, we'll kindly explain to them why, because most of the time the defacement occurs, they mail hacked. We have six people monitoring it, basically 24 hours a day. We're able to respond quickly. The CERT edition is recent, and this is kind of amusing. Is anyone in here from CERT? No? Damn. I was up late one night, and I decided that, hey, we should go ahead and mail our CERT, or the CERT, not just the country ones, all defacements so that they could start collecting their own statistics and get a bigger picture of what's going on. And after about 2 days of running AGET, meaning they got probably 20 to 30 pieces of email, someone from CERT, one of their managers, contacted me and said, hey, can you quit mailing us? I was like, well, sure, but let me quote you from your webpage where you say you'd like to know about these incidents. You know, this is exactly what we thought you wanted so that you could do that. And he's like, oh, well, yeah, hey, that's a good point. And so we modified it, and we now send to a different address at CERT, not the CERT at CERT.org. They have their own like CERT attrition signature list at CERT.org or something now. Odds are it's getting routed to DevNull. NIPC, this is another fun one. This came right after CERT. Everyone knows that the NIPC is there to stop cybercrime and cyber terrorism and all those other cool words to describe script kids. Started forwarding notification to them because we figured, hey, they want to know about all these incidents. And it took maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 days to get the first response from them. And it was polite, it was handwritten, it wasn't a form letter, and basically said, thank you for notifying, we'll forward this on to the appropriate people. Okay, well, we already did that, but, you know, maybe they'll listen to you. And shortly after that, we started getting maybe 1 out of 50 replies. Each time it was handwritten. The English in the mail was that of a third grader. He couldn't spell words. Most of the sentences were poorly structured, which just chapped the ass of Null because one of our staff members is just really picky about English. And Null started replying to the NIPC with grammar corrections. So if there's any NIPC people in here, you know, it's just for fun. You know, use the mail for statistics or something. Feds love us. One of the biggest conspiracies around attrition is who funds us, who do we work for, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I know that some people, no names mentioned, love to bring up new conspiracy theories. The only FBI interaction we've had so far is the FBI Connecticut office. They issued a single 2703D subpoena, which basically said, we want all the information you have on, and they gave us two hacker handles, Flips and Fuckrag. They also gave us a list of some 15 defacements that these two kids were responsible for, and said, please send us everything you have. Well, we did. And it was almost a month later because they wanted it burned on CD, and he kept changing his mind. Nice guy, but We ended up mailing it off, and I charged him $16 for my effort and to reclaim the cost of that expensive burn CD. And they sent us a check. It's kind of cool. So $16 is the extent of our federal income right now. But I will warn you, that may double here in a couple weeks because we have another agent that's promising yet another subpoena. For those of you who watch our page quite a bit, you may have noticed a discrepancy. At one point it said that we had either received or were expecting to receive 3 subpoenas. Well, the reason that got cut down is the Connecticut office was kind of lazy. They said, well, we'll just put 2 names on 1 subpoena. That was convenient. So that took care of 1. And then the 3rd subpoena just never arrived. Never heard from the agent again. I assume he got what he wanted from other sources. It's kind of interesting. I don't know exactly why they want copies of our mirrors burned to CD when they're all public. One of the things they are usually after, though, is the email that comes into us. And we'll get into why and some neat stuff on that. Here. You've got mail. How are we notified? And more importantly, where are we notified from? Hotmail.com. We've received basically almost 1,350 pieces of mail, which makes up almost 25% of the mail. Now, what's wrong with this picture? X-originating IP. Every piece of mail that comes into our box from Hotmail has an X-originating IP. Now, we don't know anything about the defacers for the most part, but we can tell you that most of them aren't very bright. So that X-originating IP, for the most part, is usually their home computer. Oops. Now you see why the feds contact us for our mail. Others of interest is AOL, Mail, Yahoo. The full list gets broken out to how many? 108. Yeah, there's basically 800 different domains we've been contacted from. The other two of interest is antionline.org. We'll take a cheap shot at them because their admin says, we monitor all of our email and we turn them all in. Yet some of these defacers have been contacting us from antionline for over 6 months. And the interesting one, hushmail.com. Everyone familiar with them? Basically a pro-privacy, we won't reveal anything about our users short of a federal subpoena. Not even 1% of the mail comes in from Hushmail, and they give out free accounts. Not bright. We were contacted maybe 6 months ago by various members of different defacing groups, including Global Hell. And they said, yeah, when we were raided, the FBI agents were holding printouts of your mirror in front of our face saying, did you do this? So the feds have been using our mirrors, just not exactly for the best of reasons. Forensics and mirrors, and we're not calling this profiling, this is forensics. Most defacements are sloppy. They leave a nice forensics trail. If any of you are into computer forensics and you ever have some time, go pick a random group off the mirror and look at the HTML and the other information. You can find out some neat stuff from them, especially if you look at the meta description, meta name, meta generator. It's easy to match one person operating under different names. We've recently picked out 2 or 3. McIntyre's been kind of looking at the cross breakouts. And some of these defacers will hit maybe 10, 15 sites, change their name, and continue defacing. And they'll change their style a little bit and everything. But looking at the HTML and everything else, it's pretty easy to pick them out. There's indications that groups and individuals talk before choosing targets. And this is something else we'll be generating, hopefully, in the next few months. There's been patterns and spikes in the defacements so that one day you'll see a huge increase in EDU defacements, and then it'll kind of die off over the next 3 weeks, then a big spike in maybe a specific country. Well, it's not just one group doing it, so it's indication that a lot of these defacers are talking either on IRC or email and saying, ooh, let's go look at these domains or these subnets. Question? Okay, the question was sites that come up like anonymizer.com, and they probably are effective, but they're foreign to most of the kids. I mean, we see very little interaction with them. Almost every defacement has some kind of one thing or another is sloppy, either how they contact us or information in the field, signatures, you name it. Can you say it again? It's very difficult to say that. About the only way we could do that is if we check all the X originating IPs and fingerprint them as well. And if we started seeing Windows boxes and hit them on port 23, start looking for that, it would be very difficult. And that would also kind of put us out a little further. Just doing the in-map fingerprint of the remote site when we take a mirror, we sometimes get questions about that. It's like, why are you fingerprinting or why are you port scanning our site? If we start doing it to arbitrary host, I'm not so much worried about that host doing it, but they're upstream noticing it with their IDS or something. That could put us into a little more heat that we don't want. Very likely it is happening. For their sake, they need to do it. Any other questions? Linking between two defacers. There's obvious signs like signatures, the graphics or the text. Sometimes they'll use the same style of name, or they'll use the same basic type of graphic or the same Photoshop version. A lot of times there's broken images. The favorite one we've seen so far was someone created an HTML page they put up on the server, they defaced it. It had a nice broken image with a C colon something like Microsoft Office and then his first and last name. I hope the feds could catch that one. The meta tags, we're going to be doing some more breakouts and information regarding those in the future. Generators, the names and everything. A lot of times you can start to link who's doing what between them, but the description or their name will appear in them. Greets, misspellings, language, and more, especially with the greets. A while back, someone that was doing forensics said, you know, it'd be real interesting to do a big chart of every defacement and who greets who. And that would be a really neat project. I don't think I'd be up for it. If anyone wants to do it, feel free. But you could start to see some interesting patterns, group affiliations, stuff like that. We also have an advantage of linking between people when they mail us. Oftentimes, they will flat out say, ooh, you know, put this mirror up as this name, and they're contacting us from their old name. We don't. We just go off what the deface website says. The other free mail, left some notes in there. Like I said, the X originating IPs, and there's some other X headers that are very revealing, X source in one of them. In some mail, the defacer takes credit. They mail us and say, hey, I hacked this site. Why? Why do you have to say that? All you have to do is give us a URL. We'll determine that. You know, elsewise, that mail gets saved, archived to cover our ass. If it's ever subpoenaed, well, that person's nailed. When we're contacted, all we need to know is a URL, and we can do the rest. And I think we covered all this. Yeah. Mail woes. Of all the mail we get, about 33% of the mail is for sites that are not defaced. So that means we have to weed through a lot of sites. We take a lot of time doing that. Sometimes they're not defaced, they don't answer, or they show no signs of intrusions. Sometimes we just miss it because it's a huge site and they put some real small signature that does prove that they were there. We just missed it. Sometimes we receive mail of a defacement before it happens. Usually this is only a minute or two. Any mail that warns us of a site being defaced in advance, we are legally responsible for notifying the proper people, whether it's the administrator, the FBI, or local police, whatever. The mail that the kids receive in response is usually very hostile. We tell them never to mail us again, to go kill themselves. Because it puts our fingerprints in their logs before, during, and or after the hack. Obviously, that somewhat implicates us. We're often accused of encouraging defacements. This is far from the truth. If one day I get motivated, I'll put up a whole thread of email of us having correspondence with the defacers. We are always encouraging them to quit. We have gotten, I believe, 3 defacers to just completely give up on what they're doing. We convince them that what they're doing is not cool, it's not hacking, it's not productive, there's no valid reason. They said, hey, you're right, you know, I'll move on to something more productive. Odds are we've berated and insulted most of the defacers for their activities. We've questioned them, encouraged them to stop. And we're not the only mirror. People say, oh, well, you know, they're just doing it to get up on the mirror. Maybe so, but if we go down tomorrow, 2600 Safe Mode and 50 other sites are gonna pick up the mirrors. We like to look at ourselves more as a news source, and we don't encourage the kids any more than the local news encourages arson. Question. With our activities regarding the mirror, that's what we aim to be, is more of just a source of reporting. We've long considered actually doing a little more with it as far as like a newsletter or doing more analysis, most of which is not done for lack of time. But yeah, for the most part, we're just a news source. Use the information how you see fit. We know that the feds and the military use our mirror on a daily basis. The Army CERT team checks us on almost a 15-minute basis on some days, looking for the news sites. Some of those guys are really on top of the mirror, and we see it all in our logs. Some of the, what I touched on earlier, some of the conclusions people make based on our mirror, defacements are increasing. Yes, there are more defacements today than there were yesterday. If you qualify that question, it's true. If you leave it as just defacements are increasing, no. It's roughly the same percentage compared to servers deployed. We have a question mark up there because we want accurate operating system statistics based on you know, some reasonable scientific method or anything. We've tried to get Netcraft to give up some of their information. They won't share it. I think there's been one or two other groups that have some of the information. They won't share it. So we don't have a way to really compare the defacements versus how many operating systems are deployed or in use. A lot of people like to quote our mirror and say, this OS is more secure. No, it's likely the OS has not been audited or tested, or it's not deployed as much. Saying OpenBSD is more secure, well, maybe so, but don't say that based on our mirror. There's just not nearly as many OpenBSD sites out there as there are BSDI or FreeBSD or NetBSD. And that's one of the things we've been trying to derail in the media, is making conclusions like that based on our mirror. Let them make the conclusion, just don't try to back it with our statistics. We're gonna do one little slide of, we're cool. Why our mirror is better? All of our information is public and free. Everything we have basically is up for the world. We notify sites of the intrusions as we learn about them. As far as I know, we're the only mirror that does that. We are trying to take on as much of a friendly and helpful approach to this as possible. We collect more information about the site regarding the upstream, fingerprint, the operating system. We provide mail lists to keep people informed, which are very popular among federal agencies. Almost every government or military server that's hacked, the next day their admin will subscribe to one of our lists. We provide breakouts by group, TLD, or organization. And we'll get into that more. Steve's going to show you some real cool stuff we're going to work on. And we provide comprehensive statistics, which Matt will cover here in just a second. Mm-hmm. 20 most active groups, basically who's been doing it for a while. And you can see a few of them. How many hacks they've done, how many days they were active, and how that translates into years. And what's interesting is 4 PACs, Antichrist, Global Hell, 2 of which are foreign. Global Hell was mostly in the US. Global Hell was busted. You can start to see that there's quite a few hacks done by the same people or same groups, and they've stayed active for quite a long time. What does this say about our federal law enforcement? They either don't care or they're a little behind the job. the longest-running groups. And this one's kind of interesting. The longest-running group is ADM, and they actually have six hacks. We finally dug up some more archives of theirs. 811 days. That's a long time. And let's see. I think most people know Haggis and probably seen a few others. Defacement counts and percentages.
Sure.
I'm going to let Matt take over as he's generating most of these statistics.
Hi, I'm Matt Dickerson. I go under Munge typically. I'm about to go into another section. It's a little more graphical, maybe hard to read. We'll see. But please feel free to interrupt and ask a question, especially with the graphs and so on. It can be confusing at times. Okay, I guess this is just a breakdown of the TLDs, the generic TLDs. As you can see, vast majority of the mirror is U.S. commercial, about 42% of the total. Interesting, just looks like we've put in some interesting countries. Brazil has an amazing number of defacements by proportion. Anybody have a theory on that, let me know. Okay, we're getting into some of the graphs now. Does that look legible to you guys? Can you see it? Okay, the purple line you see there on top, that is year 2000. The green line is all of 1999. These are daily cumulative totals. And you can use these graphs both vertically and horizontally to kind of measure the difference over the previous year. So you can see we're doing it about double last year's rate currently. Okay, this is defacements per day, January 99 to July 2000. I threw in a linear regression line just for grins, just to kind of give you an idea of what the trend is. This is a spike graph that has a mean or an average right there at 11.3 defacements per day. If y'all didn't gather that from those previous graphs, like this one, on the left-hand side, that is defacements per day. And we do not count what we call a mass hack. If y'all, if you're familiar with the term, sometimes someone will break into a server with a lot of virtual domains on it. Okay, well, they'll deface sometimes 1,000, you know, or more at a time. We only count that as one hack for these statistics. Okay, getting back to where we were. These are monthly totals, January 99 through, it looks like June. July is not completed yet. We'll have the stats at the end of the month on that, but as you can see, there is an enormous spike in November of 99. It's pretty interesting. Let's see, this is just a histogram. Actually, I debated about, you know, putting histograms up there on the at all, but sometimes you can get a lot of information out of them. The range is going to be on the bottom. You have 0 to 60 defacements per day. The fraction or the proportion of the defacements is on the left-hand side, and the median is going to be near the top of that bell curve. Okay, this is getting into operating system totals, and as you can see, yellow is, or on the bottom, is Windows NT. Windows NT is Windows 2K, Windows NT 4 and 5, and Linux is white. It's an aggregation of all Linux distributions. The BSDs aggregated again. All of those are orange, and green is Solaris, and all other operating systems are at the very top there in that little thin slice you see. And you can see the big jump in NT defacement starting in about October of 99. We can make an inference, you know, prior to taking operating system fingerprints, we can make an inference about the release of certain exploits. And as a, for instance, even though we don't have stats for all of 99, we know that there was a very big exploit release in April of that year, which was some months before we started taking OS fingerprints. We see a big jump. The range goes from like between 0 and 8 to 0 and 30 defacements per day, and it's never gone down since. And that was, I believe, in this ADC. April Lesser. And that was the rainforest puppy exploit. Blame rainforest puppy. Okay, these are 29-day moving averages. These are all the operating systems graphed. And if you're not familiar with a moving average, it's a real simple idea. You see a lot of it in financial data. Front page of the Wall Street Journal is a good place to find a moving average, maybe over on Yahoo or something like that. But all it's doing is we're trying to smooth out a little bit of the volatility, the day-to-day volatility in these data, to see if we can pull out a trend or see if there's, you know, some interesting curves and so on. The most notable one recently, I think, is the beginning of June. You see white, or which is Linux, jumping up, and that's almost doubled recently. And what does that correspond with? It corresponds, I think, in my discussions with some of the defacers and the recent release on BugTrack of an exploit for WFTP. And that's continued. And this is a daily cumulative total. It's just adding up all the operating systems. And of course, yellow is NT here. I guess it's not, I guess I don't have a key here. So on top in the yellow is NT. Next is the white, which is Linux. And then Solaris is green. And BSDs are kind of orange color, I hope. Hope it looks orange to you. And then a kind of purple color, which is all the other operating systems aggregated. And this is just a pie chart of the data, which shows NT almost four times, almost 400% more than the next defacement operating system. Okay, this was an interesting little project that we wanted to look at with the holiday phenomena. A lot of administrators will tell you that they get more tax during the holidays. There might be two things that might motivate this. A cracker might have more time on his hand sitting around at home, and then you have the administrators who probably aren't around as motivators. So we took about 11 holidays. And these were just federal holidays. I went on a web page and grabbed them all and wanted to test it. And we didn't see a real significant difference. However, I will say this, the average is higher, you know, for holidays. It is greater, but it wasn't statistically significant. So, sure.
Did you look at summer?
I'm sorry?
Did you look at summer, the entire range of summer?
No, I haven't. That's a good follow-up that we need to do.
That is something that we're going to look at. This was the first run of the data. We're going to look at when school gets out, when school starts, and some more significant dates. We just wanted to test it with the known federal holidays to begin with. If you have any ideas for other dates you want to see, please let us know. Feel free to mail us, and we can generate those statistics as well.
Spring break, that's another good one. Spring break varies from school to school. Yes, sir.
I don't see any statistics on the OS, but do you see statistics on like what a server, whether it's
What? Yes. Actually, if you've been to attrition recently, as of this week, this Monday, we put up the web server graphs page, which you can reach from our main statistics page. Actually, Jericho may want to talk about the web servers and...
One of the reasons we've hesitated on that so far is that when it comes to a Unix box being compromised, the web server is very rarely the way that the person got in that we've seen. However, within TNIIS, it's often, almost always, the way they get in. So we hesitated for a while putting them up, but we did eventually. And I think we have pretty heavy disclaimer saying there's a big discrepancy there for that reason. Stats like that, we will put up, but you will see big chunks of text at the bottom explaining why they need to be taken in stride.
Actually, just off by my memory, I recall that IIS was 58% of all the servers that have been defaced since we've been taking fingerprints. Apache was 28, or about one half that. So you can go to Netcraft, which we have linked on some of our pages, at least the main stats page. Several sources where you can compare that to surveys that have been done by other companies, other organizations.
One other interesting stat, he said that I think 58% were IIS. Looking at the web server defacements for systems that were hit more than once, that jumps up to closer to 80% are running IIS. So it's an interesting jump that your NT box is more likely to be redefaced.
Right, and I'd like to encourage discussion. Email us, come talk to us after this as far as some stats you'd like to see, because I'm always looking for something that will, that people need to put up and want to see. Okay, getting back to the holidays real quick, and I'll finish this up. We hadn't seen a significant increase except in 2 days for the data that I had, which ranged from 1999 to earlier this month. It would have been July, maybe mid-July. And only New Year's Eve, 1999, big date, right? Y2K. We did see a significant difference in that date and in July 4th, 2000. I have no idea why July 4th this year was so different from last year. But so we hope to go into this in quite a bit more depth. And I'm going to turn this over to Whirlwind. Any questions before we move on?
Hello. Okay, the future of the mirror for attrition is basically going to become databased and searchable for the general public. What this will help accomplish is less work on our end by giving more power to the user. When you come to the site, you can look and find exactly what defacement you're looking for, what years you're looking for, what month, what day, what OS, what top-level domain. Just to clarify some stuff right now, we whipped this up real fast just as a presentation for Black Hat. Right now, this is running on Roxen 1.3 with a MySQL backend. So what we would like to see is in the future we're going to have PHP on Apache with a MySQL backend. Donations are welcome if you want to send hardware in so we can get this up faster if you want. Speaking on what Munch said about... I'll kill myself up here. On December of 31st last year, we'll do a quick search and find how many were there, and there's, 29 that we have listed. We'll run through some quick demos for you real fast. A nice comparison would be bringing up the BR, Brazil. So we just do one straight pull of BR, and we've got, this is a 166 laptop, so bear with me. Once again, donations, it'll be faster, and you won't have to wait as long. 367 total that we have, and this dates back to when we started mirroring, 95? That we started logging everything. We've also put in the functionality of being able to search by operating system. We were going to approach the search by defacer handle, but at this point I think we've got 1,600 distinct handles, and with each one of them using a broken keyboard, that increases the number of them. So, I left that functionality out at this point. But if we were to pull up a quick Let's do, 1999 of military. We've come up with 92 that we have. Right now, you'll see anything with a 99, the first start in 99 through. We don't have any operating system recorded because we didn't actually add the functionality of fingerprinting the actual servers when they were defaced until probably August or September.
August
of 99. So up to that point, you can actually start testing and looking for what's there. And as we build more into our mirroring and mirroring the defacements, we'll have the actual what server they were running on the OS and try to get more data in there that you can actually search by and build statistical information from. Anyone have any questions? Like me to pull a search for them?
JPL.
Yeah, well, he's got NASA.gov.
Where does he want?
There's NASA.gov.
Oh, yeah, that's there. As it shows, we try to go through and prioritize it by dates. And
I think NASA stands for Need Another Security Administrator.
If we were to pull all just open Linux, I'm not going to do that. OS, anyone?
OpenBSD.
Sure, let's check. And what I'll go into the brief, what we're going to do once this comes up, it'll all be built in back end. And what it'll do, this means that the DB will actually update it in real time. As a defacement happens and we mirror it, we'll also update our DB. So the actual page that you go to, once we throw up the searchable database, we'll have instantaneous results with the pertinent information you can build from there. And that might help a little bit. Any questions? Cool. References, the attrition mirror, staff's graph page, which Mudge has been doing a kick-ass job at, updated slide presentation, contact information. Back to you.
One of the things we want to emphasize is that this is a public resource for everyone. The best thing that you guys can do is if you have any information or any ideas of what we can do to make it better for you or to provide more information, please contact us. So far, most of the ideas have been coming from the attrition staff, but we've had a few people mail us and say, hey, why don't you do this or why don't you generate this stat? Usually we can do it in less than a week if we're not busy. So please help us out. Figure out how we can make this a better resource for everyone. Now we'll open it up for questions, and if you're the shy type, you can find us afterwards. Yes? Question is, do we think that web defacements will get old or boring? We certainly hope so. For the most part, if you actually take the time to look at every defacement that occurs, 99.9% of them are trash. They're not worth reading. But it is computer crime. The statistics need to be generated. Hopefully, someone will realize that, wow, we're not putting up a good message, and maybe they will only deface a server if there is what they consider a worthwhile cause, which obviously will be up to them. But hopefully defacements will go down and we will see higher quality of anything. Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of the philosophy we take. If we're going to do something, we do it right. We hope the defacers would do the same. Yes, sir? The question is, are there prosecutions for web defacements, and how many? Oh, the penalty?
That ranges. One of the bigger cases recently was a kid named Zyklon. He ended up pleading to two, I think, government systems in the D.C. area. Then he also admitted to being involved in the WhiteHouse.gov hack. He ended up getting either a year or a year and a half time, as well as a fine and the typical 3 years, don't touch a computer. Some of the global hell kids, they ended up getting either probation for X amount of time, don't touch a computer, a fine. I think Patrick Gregory, aside from his car theft stint, he missed his federal court hearing because he was stealing a car, another bright one. I think for the computer crime, he was sentenced to like 6 months in jail. Most of that, you should be able to search. And actually, one thing that we've been doing that we task McIntyre with the most is when a defacement occurs, there's no news about it right away. So you go look at the defacement and that's all. If you go back after the fact, like a month down the road, and you go look at the White House defacement we have up, you'll also see links to every news article we found on it so that there's a point of reference so that you can start tracking, you know, what it is, what did the kid do, what did he plead to, was he charged, et cetera. The question is, based on the ex-originating IPs that we get, have we done any statistical analysis of where they're coming from, if they're prone to come from a specific domain? No, we have not. One thing that is slated to be done is more analysis of that, starting to do lookups on them. Once the database is done, that IP will be put in. It will not be visible to a public search for obvious reasons, but however, on our side, we can start to track a little more of where it's coming from, starting looking at nationality. I've had other ideas, and some of these might put us a little bit into the frying pan. One is to every 30 days or 30 days after a server's defaced, go fingerprint it again and start to get an analysis of who's changing web servers as a result of the defacement. If someone finally said, screw it, NT's insecure, I keep getting hacked, I'll move to Unix or vice versa. We plan to do a lot more with that, but it's got to wait for the database to make it more functional for us. Yes?
I don't know much about the web.
Yes, there's a lot of systems out there that do it. There's web caching proxies that say, wow, my page just changed and this graphic's no longer there and this text is different. Reload it. I can't remember where I heard this from, so I can't say who's doing it, but one of the big agencies is moving to exactly that kind of system. They're basically going to put all of their web pages that they make publicly accessible onto a certain web server farm that will have 5-minute polls to check the validity of the page. So even if it's defaced, if we don't get to it in 5 minutes, no one will know what happened, kind of thing. And that's one thing that we didn't bring up. One of the reasons that we mirror these is a lot of times, and actually I think Comega had the biggest argument with an admin. An admin said, oh, well, you know, it was only up for a few hours. No one knows about the defacement. If you take it down, no one will ever know. And it's like, well, wait a minute. You know, you can't do that to your users. You need to let them know that you run an insecure server, that their email may have been compromised, their credit cards. We don't know the extent of the intrusion you do, but you can't lie to your users. And that's one reason that we're pretty hip to trying to get the defacement mirrored as quick as possible. Yes, sir.
You said that there was a statistic that returned to Facebook. Is that based off of a single person?
No, the statistic is in general. Hacker one may have hit it the first time, two, three, four. Right, and that's what motivated us to take the redefacements off of our mirror and put them on the hidden page, is to try to discourage kids from redefacing a site. Right now, the worst on the mirror is familycomputerworkshop.com. That's why I pick on them. We're up to 15 mirrors for their site. I was talking to a coworker the other day, and I said, you know, I've never actually seen their site when it's, you know, legit. So I went, When I said that, the previous defacement we had for him was some 5 days earlier, so I went and loaded the site. There was number 15, took a mirror. And the actual defacement had the date, and it was the date I was looking at. You know, it's not like it had been up for 5 days. So some of these sites are getting hit, and it's got to be a running joke. With Family Computer Workshop, we all have our money that it's a honeypot, that someone's letting it get defaced so that they can see how it's being done, which kids are active, that kind of thing. Yes? That's one of the reasons it goes back into saying, watch what kind of conclusions you make based on our mirror. Yes, sir. Well, attrition morphed from security.org, which I think you're familiar with. As far as the mirror goes, I don't know exactly what prompted it, but at one point I said, you know, this sucks going to 87 sites to see, you know, 15 different mirrors to track them down to see what was done, which domains were hit. So I started making a collection, and eventually it just kind of moved on into the attrition mirror. And at that point, as soon as we started making it public, I said, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it right. Started enlisting the help of the rest of the attrition staff, trying to get ideas. Started beating the hell out of Munch to get some good statistics and make this useful. Yeah, I really don't know why most of attrition is up. It's kind of whatever comes to mind, whatever we feel like doing. In the back? The question is, how often do we know what kind of exploit is used? And actually, let me ask a second question that's asked of us, is why don't you put up any kind of information regarding the vulnerabilities? Number one, if we put up a web page defacement and we list what vulnerability is, we're liable for all the rehacks of it. I mean, these script kids, they look at our mirror just as often as the feds do. And if we put up a domain and how it was hacked, well, there you go. They're going to go hack it a second, third, 15th time. So we're probably never going to make the vulnerability information public in that fashion. Part of the problem also is we know that a system runs, let's say, NT. Well, 90% chance it's MSADC, 9% it's Cold Fusion, 1% something else, you know. How do we know that short of doing our own vulnerability scan of the system? And as soon as we do that, that puts us liable for scanning their system. Can you say the last part of that, please? Right. Part of that 90% number, though, I can't back that beyond what some admins have told us, looking at when RFP released it versus how many servers got hit right after and the trend has stayed. Because we can't back what we say on that, we don't want to make it public. Question over there? Yes, sir. Right, if a site is defaced, we let them know. We send mail to their NIC contacts as well as postmaster at whatever domain. We don't let the operating system vendor or anyone else know.
What was your reason for putting up on your site? The domain names that
the rehacks? We don't want to encourage the kids to keep kicking a system after it's been hit once. Oh, why don't we give up the X originating IPs, or when we get some statistics as far as where they're coming from, if we end up saying, wow, 25% of defacers come from AOL, we'll put that up, no problem. But it's a privacy issue. We can't give away who contacted us. Oftentimes, the admin will contact us and say, hey, can you share the mail that you received so that we can, you know, track this bastard? And we're like, well, no, because we don't know that the person contacted us had anything to do with it, especially on big sites. If it's a popular domain, sometimes we'll get 10 pieces of mail from 10 arbitrary users, all of which just stumbled across the site and said, hey, wow, this is defaced. I know about the mirror. Let me tell them about it. And because of that liability, we will never give out the email short of a federal subpoena. Right, the common, as soon as we generate those statistics, yes, we'll put them up and they will be public. Yes, sir.
Do you have any idea how many of the machines that get connected to the website really have any intended to use as web servers?
Sure.
That are just like end user workstations running on there, and so
we're seeing that more and more, especially with more people putting their servers on. One thing that was kind of interesting is recently GeForce Pakistan hit a bunch of government servers. We later found out from their administrators that they actually installed a web server on the machine to deface it. And that's putting us into a little bind here. Do we label that a defacement when it wasn't running a web server? So we're having to kind of readjust how we're doing things. Oftentimes we have to modify our policy on mirroring, whether we consider it a valid hack or not, because it was a government domain. Because it was Gov, because it was GeForce, and because there's 58 active investigations on them, and because the admins didn't care, you know, we kept them up on the mirror. Yes, sir. Yes, we hit that the other night and readjusted our policy on that. Someone did legitimately hack a machine with the web server, but instead of putting up their own page, they redirected to a GeoCities page. Well, is that a defacement? Well, yeah, if you type in www.hack.com, you do see a defaced page, and that's basically what we go off of. If you type it in the browser and it comes up saying anything other than legitcompany.com, that's a defacement. That makes it a bitch to mirror, though, because our utility tries to get that. It gets the redirect page. It doesn't actually follow the link necessarily. So we're having to work on that, and we're having to basically watch our policy on it. Mm-hmm. Recursion level of 2 by default, and we do not follow off-site. And that's why it wouldn't catch it going to GeoCities. And the reason we had to limit it down to 2 is because that'll catch the main page, the image, and subpage. There were times where even with a recursion of 2, we were pulling down 10, 15 megs of a site, and we don't have the disk space for that. Yes, sir, in the back. Yes, 99.9% of the mirrors we have are exactly as is. The only exception is sometimes the defacer will call an image off of a foreign site. Sometimes we will modify the image source tag to call it from our server, and typically we'll take the original line, comment it, so that it's still there for integrity, and then say we redirected to this copy. Or we'll put a touched file in the directory with some notes or something. We keep very, very close track of how we manipulate the mirrors, but for the most part, no, it's all original content. Yes. Maybe 500 now, we will actually put a mirror up when we didn't verify it, and that's only if someone like AP or MSNBC does a news article. If they can write an article and say it was defaced, then we'll go off that. Short of that, no matter how big the site is, if we don't verify it, it's not defaced as far as we're concerned. And that's where that 33% of the mail comes in a lot of times. The kids will sometimes mail us back, oh, well, the admin took it down. We reply back, well, if you can't keep a server defaced for more than 1 minute, it's not defaced. I think we're running out of time. We'll take one more question, and just hit us up after this if you have any more questions.
As a follow-on to the question I started with, do you have a vision for where you want to be 5 years from now?
I can't plan beyond next week. not really. We have some ideas. We've got some ideas not only for the mayor, but the other parts of the site. We're revamping, we're redoing errata. Who knows? It's basically a whim. Anytime we have a person that volunteers to do something, we say, oh, here's the web space, have at it, let them go at it, you know, whatever they want to do, whatever makes us happy. Attrition is fully a hobby site. We all have day jobs, so we get no money for attrition beyond the $16 from the FBI. And not like I cash that check, it's going framed. Okay, we're going to wrap it up, let the next group come in. I guess we'll head off that way if you have any questions. Thank you.